Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So yesterday we heard from this Viraha Gita, which is the gopis' songs and their deep mood of Viraha Agni, burning in separation over the impending burning in anxiety and distress over the impending separation from Krishna. And these are the last few verses, and this is Krishna has mounted the chariot of Akrura with Balaram, and all the coward men have mounted their bullock carts and loaded their yogurt and ghee on the cart to accompany Krishna to Mathura to pay the yearly tax to King Kansa in Mathura. And no one's saying anything to the gopis. Everyone is very hurriedly packing their bullock carts. All the men are packing their bullock carts. And Krishna's sitting on the chariot. He's not saying anything to them. No one's saying anything. Everyone's thinking everything's okay. And the gopis are speaking to each other. What is this? Has everyone gone crazy in Vrindavan? Has everyone gone crazy? Don't the coward men realize what they're doing? Krishna's going to Mathura, and they're accompanying him. They'll pay their taxes and come home, but Krishna won't come home. He'll stay there with Devaki and Vasudeva, and he won't come back. They'll come back. Don't they realize that they're committing suicide? That by going when they go to Mathura, when they come back to Vrindavan without Krishna, then they realize, wait a minute, Krishna's not here. He's in Mathura. Then they'll die. They can't live. They'll simply die in a separation. So they're committing suicide. What are they doing? They're so nonsensical. So this is what we heard yesterday. And then the next verse, which we also heard, is that they said, as they looked around, they became so desperate. And we were mentioning the point of how Braj Leela is full of desperation. Vaikuntha in general, Vaikuntha is a plane of dedication. Everyone is dedicated to the center. Everyone is dutiful and dedicated. They're dutiful to Lord Vishnu and they're dedicated to his service. Either they simply remember him while living on the planet or living in a palace or whatever, or they're dedicated. But there's no question of desperation, because the intensity of the ras, the intensity of the loving sentiments and exchanges in Vaikuntha cannot compare to the depth of ras and loving exchanges of Brajagokul or Vrindavan. Look at what our rasas are there. It's explained by the acharyas. There's only 2.5 rasas even available in Vaikuntha. It's interesting they say 2.5. They say there's Shanta ras there, there's Dasya ras there, and half of Madhurya. Why half of Madhurya? Madhurya means conjugal love, man-woman love. Half because Madhurya love has two aspects, lawful love and unlawful love. Lawful love means swakya, belonging to me, my wife by marriage. That's called lawful love. And unlawful love is called illicit love or parakya. Parakya means belonging to another. Belonging to another. It means paramour love. We say par amour. Same. It's interesting because the Sanskrit is the same as French. Amour means love or lover. And para means additional. So we say paramour means an additional lover. My wife plus one more. My husband plus one more. Extra, adhika. Adhika premi. An adhika premi, an extra lover. So this is called parakia, belonging to another. She doesn't belong to me. There's no right of ownership. There's no contract. There's no marriage bond. So Vaikuntha, there's no paramour love. There's no parakya bha. There's only swakya. Lakshmi is married to Narayan. Narayan doesn't have any girlfriends. You ever heard? Does Narayan have Ras Leela? Does Narayan have Julan Leela? Does Narayan have Jalkeli? No. So all of Vaikuntha is only 2.5 rasas. And even that rasa, even that Madhurya rasa is crippled. It's called Shitala. Shitala Prem. It's crippled. It's diminished. Practically speaking, Lakshmi Devi, her intimacy, she is like a malish. She's like a masseuse. You know what masseuse is? Someone who rubs your feet. Malish? How do you say a masseur? Malishwala. She's a Malishwali. So what does that mean? That means Dasyarati. That means she's a servant. She's a maidservant. Her place is on his chest. A lover's place is on the chest of her beloved. But where has she positioned herself? Are you hearing my question or not? Where has she positioned herself? At his feet. And her perfection is what? You know about the nine limbs of devotion, you've heard? What is the perfection of Lakshmi? Padasevanam. What is the perfection of Akrura? Vandanam, offering prayers. What is the perfection of Shukadeva Goswami? Hearing. What is the perfection of, what is the perfection of Parikshit? Hearing. Who has attained the perfection of remembering? Prahlad Maharaj. So Lakshmi Devi, she's at the feet. So that means Dasya Bhav, maidservant. Although officially she's the wife, but practically she's a maidservant. So Braj has all these rasas. So the gopis are, but so Braj, because all these rasas are there, Madhurya rasa is there, Sakya rasa is there, Vatsalya rasa is there. Who's the mother of Narayan? Who's the mother of Lakshmi? Nowhere. Nowhere told. Of course, you can say the ocean is the mother of Lakshmi, because there's one pastime where Lakshmi appears from the ocean, Kir Samudra, Devasura Samudra Mantan. Devasura Samudra Mantan, they're churning the ocean, Lakshmi Devi came out. The pastime is there. But that's just a manifestation of Prakat Leela. But Lakshmi is eternally existing. But it's like this, Prakat Leela, in this jagat. But, so there's no mother and father. So what's the Vatsali? What's the Vatsali Ras? The motherly parental love for Lakshmi Narayan is nothing. So it's so much variegated in the Ras. And Krishna deals with his lovers in Vrindavan in such a way they become desperate. So now the gopis are desperate. They're beside themselves. They're busting at the seams. Their hearts are cracking like earthquakes. They're tremors. Their hearts, even they say tremoring in the heart, or palpitations. The earth is trembling. There's tremors, earthquakes. So their hearts are palpitating to such an extent. And they're becoming so desperate. And they're looking all around. Isn't anyone going to do anything? Isn't anyone going to say anything? Nanda Maharaj, you're not going to say anything? Upananda, Abhinandan, Sunandan, no, Balaram, that, nobody's saying anything. Shridam, Subal, and Shridam, you're getting on the bullet carts also? Don't you realize what you're doing, you fools? You're so stupid? You're all willfully committing suicide? Krishna's going to Mathura, he's not coming back, and you know that you can't live without him any more than we can't. We can't live without Krishna, you can't either. And you're merrily getting on your bullet carts, ha ha ha. You're so crazy, you're so blind, don't you see what's happening? So the gopis are looking around and seeing this. No one seems to be concerned. They're all nonplussed. They're not interested. And then they say, well, hell with it. We'll take control of the situation. Women's lib. This is the first expression of women's liberation. They're supposed to be shy and docile and reserved. Let the men handle everything. Just stay in the background and wash the pots. Cook the pakoras, iron the dhotis, right? Clean the house. And they say, wait a minute. Let us directly, as we said yesterday, we'll directly approach Madhav. We'll pull out his dhoti. We'll stop the horses. We'll break the legs of the horses. He can't go. We'll pray to the demigods. Send a rainstorm. Send a hailstorm. Send a monsoon so the roads become full of mud and the horses can't slip and slide and can't go anywhere. This is how desperate they became. And then they were saying, and one gopi said, let us approach Krishna, pull at his dhoti. And then someone else said, but what about our family members? What will our mother-in-law think when we start pulling the dhoti of some other man? She'll think, well, what the heck? What's my daughter-in-law doing? I thought she was married to my son. She's crying and saying, stop, don't go. Hey, wait a minute. What's going on here? So here before, none of this was understood. It was all Gupta, secret, Gopi. They were telling, Gopi means secret. Why are they Gopi? Gopi means Gupta. It means the love is secret, concealed, deeper than the heart. No one knows. Two cell phones. One cell phone for the husband. One for the boyfriend. Haribo. Maybe three cell phones. Maybe five. And then I've actually seen sometimes in Delhi, when the phones are ringing, I said, what's that? Well, that's my cell phone. I said, what's, well, that's my husband. I said, okay. Hello. Bye. Then the other cell phone rings. Ding, ding. I said, what's that? I said, oh, that's another friend. Hello. Hi. How? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, how are you? Okay. Fine. Oh, bye. Then the phone, ding, ding, husband. Hello. Yeah. Gee, huh. Gee, huh. Gee, huh. So the gopis, they have a cell phone only for Krishna, and no one knows. Their mother-in-laws and father-in-laws and brother-in-laws don't know that she has this other cell phone. That every cell in her body is only vibrating Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That's the original cell phone. Phone means sound. The word phone means sound, vibration. Cell phone. So every cell of their bodies, every pore of their bodies is chanting Krishna, 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 Krishna. Vibrating, you know, vibratory mode on your cell phone. It goes, jumps in your pocket, right? So every cell of their body is Krishna, Krishna. This is Gopi, Gopi Bhava. So now, what do they say in this verse? Yasyana raga lalita smita vaga mantra nilava loka parirambana rasa goshtam nitas manashanan. Iva shanada vinatam gopya katam matitare matamo darantam. So the gopis have been speaking in one particular rag. Now they switched. Must indicate something also. They changed the rag, which means it changed the mood. Because rag also means mood. Of course, the word there is anurag also. When Krishna brought us to the assembly of the rasa dance, where we enjoyed his affectionate and charming smiles, his delightful secret talks, his playful glances and embraces, we passed many nights as if they were a single moment. Oh, gopis, how can we possibly cross over the insurmountable darkness of his absence? So now they were, the previous verse, they were so desperate that we have to just pull him, stop him. And now they're remembering, yes, we had such wonderful experiences. And they're remembering, and they're thinking, if he goes, we'll never have those experiences again. So this is Prabhupada's translation to the same verse. We have passed a very long night, which seemed only a moment, engaged in the rasa dance with Krishna. We looked at his sweet smile, and embraced him and talked with him. Now, how shall we live even for a moment if he goes away from us? So, Prabhupada is presenting their words like this. And in this purport here, it tells the disciples of Prabhupada, they say, for the gopis, a long time in Krishna's association passed like a moment, and a single moment in his absence seem like a very long time. It's interesting that this is a phenomenon of Mahabhav, that when one is the gopis, this is a speciality of the gopis in Mahabhav, that when they dance in the rasa dance with Krishna, the Maharas dance in Sharad Purnima, Krishna, knowing their hearts and knowing their intention, their desire to serve and please him in every possible way, he extended that night, that 12-hour night or 9 hours, whatever, that night he extended to be a day of Brahma. And a day of Brahma is 300 billion years or something. So that rasa dance went on and on and on, practically forever, eternal time. And the gopis were dancing with Krishna, enjoying so much ecstasy. And that fantastically long period of time, millions of years, which actually it was that long of time, all of a sudden the sky was becoming light, and a new day was arriving, and the gopis were thinking, what happened? We just started the rasa dance and already the night is over. So this is the feature when one is enjoying with Krishna, eons go by in a second. But when one is separated from Krishna, then 1 second without Krishna feels like an eon of time, a millennium. So this is a feature of Mahabhava. And we even in our own experience, we say, time flies when you're having fun. I don't know if you have an expression like that in Hindi. You have something like that? Or maybe you don't have that experience. At least in America, we had an expression like this. Time flies when you're having fun. You can follow what I mean? Yes. You understand? You're enjoying with some friends, and all of a sudden, oh, it's time to go. Class is over, or whatever. So time flies when you're having fun. But when you're suffering, when you're sick, you look at the clock. Oh, what time is it? Oh, I feel so bad. Oh, it's 6 o'clock. Oh, I feel so bad. What time is it? Oh, it's 10 after 6. It seems like 3 hours went by. And you're suffering headache, fever, this, that. Oh, it's so, and then you sleep a little bit. Oh, I must have slept for 5-6 hours. Oh, it's only 1 hour. Oh, it's 7 o'clock. Oh. So when you're miserable and you're suffering, time crawls like, it just crawls. It doesn't fly. It crawls like a snail. It moves like a snail. So the gopis had that same experience. So what does Vishwanatha Chakravarti say about this verse? He says, the gopis said, because firstly, in the other verse, they wanted to stop him because no one else is doing anything. And so they wanted to stop. The gopis said, there are other reasons for stopping Krishna also. Besides the fact that they couldn't remain alive in a separation. During the rasa dance, we enjoyed his affectionate, playful smiles, attractive, intimate talks, and secret meetings. Without Krishna, how can we cross the dark ocean of separation, whose far shore cannot be seen? In the bliss of Krishna's company, 1,000 nights passed in a moment. But in the misery of his separation, each moment will feel like 1,000 ages. How will we find the strength to pass the many nights that now await us in the future? So this is text 30, which is the last verse of the Viraha Gita. Yo na shaye vrajamananta saka parito goper vishankura rajasturita lakka shak venam kvanam smita kataksha nirikshanena chittam shinotyamam retenukatam bhavema. They say, Gopi said, how can we exist without Ananta's friend Krishna, who in the evening would return to Braj in the company of the cowherd boys, his hair and garland powdered with the dust raised by the cow's hooves. As Krishna played his flute, he would captivate our minds with his smiling, sidelong glances. So, this is Srila Prabhupada's translation to the same verse, verse 30. At the end of the day, in the evening, along with his elder brother Balaram, Krishna would return home with his friends. His face would be smeared with the dust raised by the hooves of the cows, and he would smile and play on his flute and look upon us so kindly. How shall we be able to forget him? How shall we be able to forget Krishna, who is our life and soul? He has already taken our hearts in so many ways throughout our days and nights. And if he goes away, there is no possibility of our continuing to live. It's Prabhupada's. You really feel like you're standing there with the gopis when you hear Prabhupada's translations. Because Prabhupada is also in that bhav. He's in Gopi bhav. So this is another. There's a few more verses about the pastime. That's the last verse. And then, but the gopis say one more thing also. Sri Shukavacha, Ivam Bruvana, Viratura Brisham, Prajastriya Krishna Vishakta Manasa Visrijya Lajjam Rurudu Smasu Swaram Govinda Damo Dharamaraveti Govinda Damo Dharamaraveti Govinda Damo Dharamaraveti Govinda Damo Dharamaraveti. Shukadeva Goswami said, after speaking these words, the ladies of Braj, who were so attached to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by their imminent separation from Krishna. They forgot all shame, visrijya lajjam, and they loudly cried out, Govinda Damodar Madhav. So this verse became the basis of the Govinda Damodar Stotram, which was written by Bilva Mangala Thakur about 900 years ago. And this song, of course, is very popular. This stotram is Pandit Jasaraj sings it most beautifully. There's many, many verses, and this is the refrain. Draupadi speaking verses, and Kunti, and the gopis, and many, many verses are being described there, Krishna's different leelas. And then, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. So this is the inspiration for Bilva Mangala Thakur. So for a long time, the gopis had carefully hidden their conjugal love for Krishna. But now that Krishna was leaving, the gopis were so distressed, so much desperation, that they could no longer hide their feelings. They weren't gopis anymore. They were prakatis or whatever. They were manifesting their hidden love. And so this was the last thing they said. They were speaking among themselves what to do. Gopis were speaking and revealing their intense separation. And here, and they said, let's pull out his dhoti and break the legs of the horses and pray to the demigods to create a storm. And no one else was doing anything. No one else was saying anything. And they couldn't contain themselves any longer. They just exploded. Govinda Damodar Madhav, how can you do this? So this is desperation, and this is their, imagine their kirtan. Their kirtan is so full of desperation, so full of distress, because they're feeling Krishna is leaving us, never to return. So Prabhupada, in this verse, he says that, thinking like this, the gopis became more and more grief-stricken at Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. They could not check their minds, and they began to cry loudly, calling the different names of Krishna. O Damodar, dear Madhav. He says, O Damodar, dear Madhav. There's no Govinda here. He just says, O Damodar, dear Madhav. And then there's text 32. So Vishwanath, he's telling, last verse, the verse I read, the number 30, verse 30, the gopis are saying, how can we exist without Ananta's friend? He looks so beautiful when he comes back. The gopis said, moreover, we will die this very evening. At the end of the day, Krishna, that friend of Balaram, would vibrate his flute while entering Braj, gaze upon our breasts, and captivate our hearts with his sidelong glances. How will we live without Krishna? If we do not receive that glance this evening, how will we maintain our lives? And the gopis are maintaining their lives just with a glance from Krishna. And they're thinking, now it's morning, and the Kura is taking Krishna to Mathura, and this evening, there will be no Krishna coming back this evening. There will be no, Krishna won't be coming back, bringing the cows back from Uttara Goshta Leela. And he will not be glancing at us so wantonly, so lovingly, so enchantingly. And if the afternoon comes and we can't see Krishna glancing at us like this, then we'll die. We live for that glance. We live, that is our life, that is our pran. The glance, Krishna's glance is our very life force. And now they're already anticipating that we'll be finished. That's why they say, moreover, we will die this very evening. We may be able to live, Krishna may leave now in the morning, we may be able to live speaking about him and crying in separation, but then we'll be waiting for that union, that meeting again in the afternoon and seeing his beautiful glance. But looks, that's not going to happen because look, he's going, he's not going to return. And so this very day we will all die. So then this next, so that now Vishnu's commentary on text 31. After lamenting and discussing in this way, the gopis gather together to make Krishna get down from the chariot. However, due to their intense pain of separation, the gopis could neither move a step nor utter clear words. They became tongue-tied. They became stunned. These are symptoms in sattvic vikar, astra sattvic vikars. One of them is stamba. Stamba comes before pralaya. There's eight symptoms. One is stamba means you become stunned, and pralaya means you become devastated. First you become stunned or immobilized. Your body becomes immobilized. Your eyes, your mind, you become stunned. Then next thing is pralaya, where you faint. Oh, you just faint. Pralaya means devastation or destruction, but that's in rasa, you don't die. You just faint and collapse on the ground in a swoon of divine rapture. So the gopis are stunned. Their voices are choked up. They really want to say something, but they're just blurted out, Govinda! Govinda Damodar! Mahadev! They don't know what to say. And everything, of course, everything is packed in there because every one of these verses, there's huge purports by different acharyas. Why they said Govinda? Why they said Damodar? Why they said Madhav? There's so many deep meanings there. So Vishnu Chakravarti gives some reason why there's Vishnu Sahasranam, Krishna Sahasranam, Krishna's Ananta Namam. There's unlimited names for Krishna in Vrindavan itself. They could have chanted Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Nandan. There's so many names. But they chanted specifically Govinda, Damodar, Madhav. So Vishnath explains why. They said, the gopi said, O Govinda, please take all of our senses, go. Because the word Vinda also means Labasva. Labasva means take. And go means senses. O Govinda, please take all of our senses, such as our mind and eyes. Our minds and eyes. Our minds and eyes are going away in your association. So please be merciful and take them. Let our senses remain yoked, which means connected, to the bull of your mind, and thus protect them and do not neglect them. If our bodies are not suitable for meeting with you, and you do not return to us, then right here we will give up our bodies. This is the meaning behind the word Govinda. If you desire, you may incur the sin of murdering women. But don't kill that mother of yours, the divine queen of Braj, by whose love you even allowed yourself to be bound with ropes, Damodar. So first they said Govinda from their side. Govinda means our senses. You're taking our senses. So if you take our mind and senses, how will we live? We'll die. You're killing us. And then if this doesn't touch your heart, if this doesn't impel you to stop your journey and get off the chariot, then what about your mother? Because there's Madhurya Bhav, then the next most intense Bhav is Vatsalya Bhav. It's much more intense than Sakya Bhav. The love of Yashoda is much greater than the love of the coward boys. Much more intense and intimate and compelling and deep. So then they appeal. They call a name down from Vatsalya. This Govinda name can be in different bhavas or different rasas, but they're taking it from Madhurya level. This Madhurya Nam from Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Bhav Nam. Govinda. Now they're showing Vatsalya Bhav Nam. Damodar. Of course, it also can also be Madhurya. But they're saying, Damodar, well, what about your mother? If you don't care about us, what about your mother? Okay, you can kill us. You don't care about the sin of killing women. Who are we? We're just your maidservants. We're not your wives. You never paid anything for us. We're unpaid servants. Never gave us a penny. Even though we're serving you, you never paid. We never took a paycheck. And we have no formal bondage with you. So okay, you can incur the sin of murdering women. But what about the sin of murdering your mother? Isn't that something serious? You may go out, like some dacoit may go out and murder some women. But do you think he'll murder his mother? Usually not. He may rob someone, some lady gets in his way, hey lady, boom, and shoot her. But his mother, you think he'd think twice. But don't kill that mother of yours, the divine queen of Braj, by whose love you even allowed yourself to be bound with ropes and became known as Damodar. Yashoda will die for sure if you do not return within 2 days. Please do not take on the sin of matricide. Matricide. The gopis express this train of thought by exclaiming, O Damodar. The gopis said, O Madhav, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. Why they said Madhav? What does Madhav mean? Madhav means the husband of Lakshmi Devi. So the gopis are saying, you are not our husband, because Dava, the word Dava means husband. You are not our husband, Dava, but you are our boyfriend. As our husband, you would not be at fault if you protected or destroyed us, because we would be your lawful property. But we are others' property. Therefore, you should not allow yourself to commit the sin of destroying another's possessions. Purport. Oh, I said that. Now, text 32. Srinam evam rudantienam udite savitaryuta akurashchariyam masa krita maitradikoratam. But even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. Purport. Some Vaishnava authorities say that Akura offended the gopis by not consoling them when he took Krishna to Mathura. And because of this offense, because of this, later in Dwarka Leela, Akura was forced to leave Dwarka and be separated from Krishna during the episode of the Shamantaka jewel. At that time, Akura had to take up an ignoble residence in Varanasi. That's interesting. Residence in Varanasi is considered ignoble, which means bad, because you're not with Krishna. Apparently, and it's the place of the Mayavadis also, headquarters of the Mayavadis. So for a Krishna Bhakta, like Akura, living in Varanasi is ignoble, which means not desirable. Apparently, Mother Yashoda and the other residents of Vrindavan were not crying like the gopis, for they sincerely believed Krishna would be coming back within a few days. Mother Yashoda was a little naive. She thought, well, Krishna will come back. The gopis, they knew Krishna better. Obviously, they know Krishna better than Yashoda. The gopis cried all night before the departure of Krishna. As soon as the sun rose, Akura finished his morning bath, got on the chariot, and started for Mathura with Krishna and Balaram. This is Prabhupada's translation. And then quite a lot of moving around here. So then what did they say? He says, the word strinam in this verse, women, is in a genitive case to express disrespect. Akura disrespected the gopis by not comforting them and saying, O mother, Yashoda, please forgive my offense because I am simply the servant of King Kansa. I promise with my own hand I will bring Krishna back to you. Some expert Rasika Vaishnavas say because of this disrespect or offense, Akura was later separated from Krishna during the Shamantaka jewel episode, driven unhappily from Dwarka and forced to take up an ignoble residence in Varanasi. Completing his morning duties such as bathing, puja, and sandhya rites, Akura mounted the chariot. Some authorities say that because Shukadeva Goswami was so absorbed in the gopis' lamentation at this time, he could not describe the lamentation of Yashoda. Other authorities say that Yashoda was repeatedly assured by Nanda, the coward men, and her peers among the Braja gopis that there was no need to worry because her son, who was very eager to see the festivities of the Danar Yajna, was going in the company of his father. They comforted Yashoda by saying, when the time comes, Nanda Baba will feed Krishna, and then Krishna will sleep comfortably in his father's lap. After a day in Mathura, Krishna will return to Braj with his father. Why should we be in anxiety? Text 33. Gopastam anvasajanta nandadya shakataistata adayopayanam buri kumbango rasasambritam. Led by Nanda Maharaj, the coward men followed behind Lord Krishna in their wagons. The men brought along many offerings for the king, including clay pots filled with ghee and other milk products. As I said, this is how they would pay their taxes, yearly taxes. Nanda Maharaj and the coward men got up on bullock carts after loading them with big earthen pots filled with yogurt, milk, ghee, and other milk products. And then they began to follow the chariot of Krishna and Balaram. Now, Gopyascha Dhyatam Krishnam Anuvrajyanu Rajita Pratyedesham Bhagavata Kankshantyas Chavatashire. With his glances, Krishna somewhat pacified the gopis, and they also followed behind for some time. Then, hoping he would give them some instruction, they stood still. So, finally, at this juncture in time, Krishna is at least looking at the gopis. And they're feeling, and hoping he would give them, speak something, the gopis stood still. In spite of Krishna's asking the gopis not to, it says here, this is text 33, no. In spite of Krishna's asking the gopis not to obstruct their way, or his way, they all surrounded the chariot and stood up to see Krishna with pitiable eyes. Krishna was very much affected upon seeing the plight of the gopis, but his duty was to start for Mathura, for this was foretold by Narada. Very interesting, Prabhupada's translation. Really gives a rich view when you put it all together and take a little time with it. This word in the verse, Anuranjita, means that Krishna made the gopis somewhat happy by his glances as he turned to face them while sitting on the chariot. Seeing the life heirs of his darlings about to leave their bodies, Krishna spoke to them with his affectionate glances. So those glances that he was giving to the gopis were saying this, O my beloved girls, do not be sad. After satisfying these people in Mathura, I will return to you. The gopis became happy, and as their legs became a little mobile, because I said they were stunned, they were frozen in position, their legs became a little mobile, they began to follow the chariot along with the coward boys who were blissfully walking behind it. Hoping to receive some instruction from Krishna, the gopis suddenly stood still. It sounds like Lord Chaitanya dancing at the Ratha Yatra. Sometimes he was dancing in front of Jagannath's cart, and the cart would move as he would dance, and sometimes he would go behind the cart to see if Jagannath Shyamasundar was remembering him and caring for him, and he did, and the cart would stop. So the gopis, they're walking behind the cart, and the cart is moving, so then the gopis stop to see, will the chariot move? It's also a chariot. Krishna's on the chariot, Jagannath's on the chariot. So gopis are behind the chariot, and Chaitanya is in Gopi Bhav, and he goes behind the chariot. Will the chariot of Jagannath stop in the Rath Yatra? And it does, and doesn't even move until Lord Chaitanya puts his head on it and pushes it. So in the same way that gopis, you see the similarity, the gopis are stopping behind the chariot of Krishna and waiting. Will he speak to us? He's glanced at us and said something with his eyes. So then the next verse, and this is text. They're waiting for some instructions. Text 35. Tastata tapyater viksha sa prishtane yadutama santavyam santvayam asasa premer ayasya iti dotyake. As Krishna departed, that best of the Yadus saw how the gopis were lamenting, and thus he consoled them by sending a messenger with this loving promise, I will return. So this is the good news. They've been waiting for this. He said, I will return. So then, Prabhupada's translation. Krishna therefore consoled the gopis. He told them that they should not be aggrieved. He was coming back very soon after finishing his business, but they could not be persuaded to disperse. The chariot, however, began to head west, And as it proceeded, the minds of the gopis followed it as far as possible. They watched the flag on the chariot as long as it was visible. Finally, they could see only the dust of the chariot in the distance. The gopis did not move from their places, but they stood until the chariot could not be seen at all. The gopis remained standing still as if they were painted pictures. All the gopis decided that Krishna was not returning immediately, and with greatly disappointed hearts, they returned to their respective homes. Being greatly disturbed by the absence of Krishna, they simply thought all day and night about his pastimes and thus derived some consolation. That's how the Prabhupada ends the chapter, that Krishna left and they got some consolation. So Vishnathi says, and then this text 35, seeing the gopis burning in torment, that best of the Yadus, who was now inclined to protect the Yadus in Mathura, consoled the gopis by sending, through messengers, thousands of assurances to increase their faith so that they would regain full consciousness. His messages were full of compassion. Krishna said, I will return quickly. Just as your hearts are breaking at the thought of our separation, similarly my heart is also breaking. I am dependent on you. When with the tongue of my mind, I lick the sweet liquor of your sidelong smiling glances, which are rarely found in all the three worlds, my life becomes fulfilled. If I do not return the day after tomorrow, then both you and I will lose our lives. But if I live because of a long lifespan or because of expectations of reunion, this life will be more painful than millions of deaths. Thus Krishna solaced the gopis with such words imbued with the nectar of pure love. Supremer. As long as the flag on the chariot was still visible, the gopis sent their minds after their departing beloved, while they remained standing still. To the people around them, the stunned gopis appeared like painted pictures. Giving up the hope that Govinda would turn around and come back to Braj, the gopis left that spot. They gave up the idea that Krishna was just fooling them and would actually come back. They passed their days in extreme sorrow. And that's it. That's the end of it. The verse says that the gopis turned back without hope that Govinda would ever return to them. Full of sorrow, they began to spend their days and nights chanting about the pastimes of their beloved. So this is the Viraha Gita of chapter 39 of the 10th canto. It's a very rich presentation of the intense love, the desperate, intense, pure love of the gopis of Braj. And we someday are aspiring to enter that. Jiva Goswami says in this commentary, he says that Lord Krishna secretly lamented his separation from the gopis. These transcendental feelings of Lord Krishna are part of his supreme pleasure potency. So this is all going on under the influence of Yoga Maya. These are all experiences within the purview of Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord. So by reading these pastimes and hearing of these discussions, it has a very powerful, attractive quality, purifying quality and attractive quality. It purifies our hearts and attracts our hearts to Krishna's Braja Leela in a very powerful way. And it's like painting. When you're painting a room with a new color, you put on a primer coat. You paint white, and then on top of that, you paint blue or green or whatever. So hearing such Harikatha in the commentaries of the Acharyas and Prabhupada's wonderful translations and commentaries built into his translations, it paints the heart. The heart becomes painted with the bhav. The bhav of the gopis. Can you, even from our dull viewpoint or from our conditional position, we can have some faint or slight appreciation of the intensity of their attachment, the intensity of their dedication, and the intensity of their love for Krishna. So by associating, what we say that by associating with someone, you develop their qualities. If you have a crystal and you put it next to a red object, then that crystal takes on a red color. If you put the crystal next to a blue color, it takes on a blue color, a blue hue or blue appearance. So by associating with the gopis and their times of intense distress or in times of intense viraha bhav, intense moods of separation, this will help us to cultivate our mood of separation, because we are also separated from Krishna. Everyone is asking, show me Krishna. Can you show me Krishna? Can you see Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? So this is separation prepares the heart for meeting Krishna. Just like hunger prepares the tongue for enjoying food. When you're hungry and starving for days, then you can really relish the taste of food and the pleasure of eating. So this hunger, this separation creates a hunger for meeting Krishna, a yearning and intensity. So this, how much feeling, the deep feelings they have, some few drops will sprinkle on our hearts by hearing this Harikatha. And if that happens, then we will consider our classes to be a great success. If some drops of this mood of separation, viraha bhav, comes in our heart, it's a reflected way. Let's call it abhas, a semblance, something similar, a semblance, a similarity. If some yearning comes, if some hankering, yes, I want to attain these feelings, I want to be among these personalities, I want to live in this domain of cooperation and domain of gratitude and appreciation. No one is consuming there. No one is consumed and no one is consuming. Everyone's contributing. Here, everyone is consuming someone or something, and everyone's being consumed by someone or something. It's a consumerism. We have this term. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity lives on another. So this consumption, exploitation, consumption. But the spiritual world, everything and everyone is, these sentient and insentient beings are all cooperating for the pleasure of the center. There is absolute harmony, absolute beauty and charm and sweetness in the spiritual world. I was speaking to Damodar on the way here. Like the flower, for example, the flower is growing on the lata, the Madhavi lata. And the flower is thinking, oh, I want to serve Krishna. I want to be offered to Krishna. But the flower has no hands. The lata cannot pick its own flowers and make a garland and offer to Krishna. So the flowers depend, the flowering vines of Braj, they depend on the gopis to come, or the coward boys to come, and pick the flowers and string a garland. And when that garland is offered to Krishna or to Radha for their pleasure, then their happiness comes, that they got to do service. Then the gopis are thinking, I want to offer a garland to Krishna, but I'm not independent. I depend on the latas. I depend on the gulab and the jui and I depend on the trees. I can't produce a garland from my hands. So therefore, there's mutual appreciation. And there's mutual interdependence. Whether you're a sentient being or an insentient being, whether you're a creeper or a tree or an animal or a gopi or gopa, everyone is appreciating each other. Everyone's cooperating together for the pleasure of the center, for the service of Krishna. This is the harmony. This is the synergy. And the material world, just the opposite. Everyone's competing for this supremacy. It's dog-eat-dog. Everyone's cutting each other's throats. And everyone feels, I don't need you, I don't need you. I have my computer, I have my cell phone, I don't need you. I have my credit card, my computer, and my cell phone. I don't need any mother, father, anything. In the spiritual world, so we're getting some of this exposure, this type of domain, the domain of cooperation, domain of intense feelings and love. And this is Brajadam. So we should always hear these topics and develop these type of bhavas. Because vision, the vision of Krishna begins with the changing the bhav. You see according to your bhav. So if you want to see Krishna in Vrindavan, then we have to have the bhav of Vrindavan. Without the bhav of Vrindavan, which is called Braja Bhav, then you cannot see Krishna ever, ever, ever. You may see Chaturbhuj Narayan if you're a tapasvi like Dhruva Maharaj, But you'll never see Krishna Vrindavan without the bhav. So first comes the bhav, the feelings. Then comes the experience of Krishna. So I want to thank everyone very much for coming to these classes, because without your presence there would be nothing going on over here. So please hope you receive some nice treasures here from these great books of our acharyas, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and the commentaries of Vishnu Chakravarti and Prabhupada's Krishna book. And of course we read a few points from Bhavanasara Sangraha, the eternal pastimes of the Lord. Take these treasures and cherish them in your heart and increase your wealth and become really wealthy. Ramananda Roy says, a wealthy man is one who possesses pure love for Radha and Krishna. So in Bombay, everyone wants wealth. Everyone's mad after money. They say this is the money center of India. Everyone comes to Bombay for money. But human life is meant to attain the wealth of prema, Radha and Krishna prema, Radha Govinda Prem Seva in Vrindavan. So we should try for this wealth, run for this wealth, work for this wealth, and then your life will be perfect. Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpatruvyascha kripasindaveva cha.